at the start of, you know, you wouldn't look through the college, it seems to be some evidence, but if you try to identify galus and kavanos, so that could, then you have to, you know, neutralize some of the evidence. You have to reread some of the sources. But the point is that that could take place in two different directions. In other words, you could be using galus as your starting point and redefining what is mechayev karbanos on the basis of that, or you could start with the karbanos, try to determine what is shkoga and karbanos, and then reassess rotseach and galus in that light. Could take place in either direction in theory, and that's really what you find in some of the Rishonim. In other words, if you take the view that Omer Mutter, which the Gemara says in Makos, is Pater Migalus, isn't the real Omer Mutter, right? The view of the Rambam and the Ramban and the Ritva, that, what does it refer to, Anakai?
The case in
Daftes. Yeah, it really refers to the Sugya in Daftes. Yeah, he misidentified his target, right? He was trying to kill, he was trying to go hunting, you know, and like, you know, even John Kerry goes hunting. And so, you know, that's what he tried to do, and he, you know, he misidentified the animal for, the person for an animal, or the animal for a person. So, that's what the Gemara means when it says that Omer Mutter is a putter, the galus. And that's where you have Machlokes in Abaye and Rava, whether it's Karav Le'ones or Karav Le'mezid. So according to that perspective, the Omer Mutter of the equivalent of Tinek Shenishba would in fact be Chayiv Begalus. That's the point of reinterpreting the Sugya Nav Zayin, the light of the Sugya Nav Tes, is to align the Sugyas, but to align them in accordance with the evidence of karbanos, because the larger body of evidence in karbanos is that even Omer Mutter is chayev a karban, meaning shma shkaga. So shma shkaga, why isn't he chayev a galus in the context of rotzeach? The answer is he is, and that the sugya that seems to say that he's not is referring to the sugya to the circumstances of daf tes. So that's in one direction. Then, of course, in the other direction would be if you take this particular approach for Rashi. Namely, if you say that really galus drives everything. It says Omer Mutter is not going to go to the Ir Miklat, that should be taken kitshuto, meaning a regular case of Omer Mutter, including Tinek Shenishba. The only conclusion then to reach is that Omer Mutter is not really a shogeg, so if he's not a shogeg, then he shouldn't be chayav karban either. So that's the Rotseach Bishkaga dictating karban Bishkaga. So the answer is in Acharami. He is pater mikarban because he's an onus. And onus is pater mikarban according to Abaya, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, or in accordance with the position of Budva. So the point is that if you want to align perfectly galus and karban, it can take place in either direction. They're going to be nafkamina lahalaka. In different cases, you'll have one single definition of shkaga. But what that definition is, and whether it includes Omer Mutter, is still going to be subject to debate. Okay. On the other hand, if we distinguish between Omer types of Omer Mutter, then we can also, in theory, maintain the equation between Galus and Karbanos. But then we don't really need to redefine either one radically in light of the other. We just might say there are different types of Omer Mutter. There's Tinek Shenishba, there's Yada V'Shachach HaKol, that's the second level, that's another level. There's, within a particular area of Halacha, there's Eni Odeya Klum, and then there's the Omer Mutter, which thinks that a particular point is Mutter. And if you put them all together, so that will explain some of the discrepancies between the sugya of galus and the sugya of karbanos without radically reinterpreting either one of them. And then beyond that, we have the other shita, which is that there really is a difference between galus and karban. Within that, there's also a range of views. How radical is the difference? Is it a technical difference or something more basic and more fundamental? So you have, again, Tosis's formulation of Shkogos Tuva. You have the Ritva, which I think is an interpretation of Shkogos Tuva, distinguishing between Shkogah Kolduhu and Shkogah Gemura. My suggestion, either within the Ritva or beyond the Ritva, that the difference is whether you need Shkaga or just you exclude Mezid and Onus on the sides of Shkaga, on the margins, I guess we'd say. That's all within the definition of Shkaga. Then you have the escalation in the Ramban of going a step further and saying that the concept of Shkaga is just defined differently in these two areas, because in one case it's Shiga Sachet, in the other case it's Shiga Samaisa. Even then, in theory, you could say, well, that's the Gzeres HaKasev, there are different ways to define Shkaga, these are both Dinim of Shkaga, but we define Shkaga differently. It's much more appealing to say that that's just the tip of the iceberg, and once that's the tip of the iceberg, maybe the others are as well. Namely, if you ask the why question, why does this depend on Shigas Chet and that depend on Shigas Maisa? And why, in this case, is it Shkaga Tuva or Shkaga Kol Shehu, and in the other case, it's Gemura, or anything but Mezid Nonis. Once you say that, so then the question of Kapara versus Onish, I think, starts to come into play. Clearly, there's an element of Kapara in both, but the question of the weight, does this Onish also result in Kapara, or is it primarily a Kapara? I think that we could be distinguishing between the two categories in both directions. If you want to go even further than that, as we discussed, so then you might say what the Chassid Cheskel says, and I think other Achronim say similar things, and that is that the whole Mechayiv is just totally different. In one case, it's Maisa Aveira Vishkaga, and in the other case, it's Shkaga Shemiviyaso Lidei Aveira, and that could explain all these phenomena. You don't necessarily need it to explain these phenomena, but once you have it, it will explain them, as well as other Nafkamina, like Shkaga Mitchila Vyadso, possibly Shav Midiaso, which I mentioned, the Achronim speak about in Makos. They wonder about whether Shav Midiaso, which is of course a staple in Karbanos, does it apply or not in Rotzeach, and possibly the question of Onus itself, but in both directions. Number one, Onus may be more powerful in Rotzeach Vishkaga than it is in Karbanos. Because if the Maisa is Mechayiv, so you can say Maisa Ba'ones Loshma Maisa, whereas when it comes to Shkaga Ba'ones, and then you can say Havalei Lameda, something of that sort, or the opposite. And again, it would explain phenomena in both directions, namely, at the end of the day, in Rotzeach, the Maisa is Koveya, so as long as it isn't the Mezid, good, you're not giving him the Onish for Mezid, but you know, you should at least punish him. Whereas in Kabanos, where the Shkaga plays a more central role, so if lo havalei lemeida, especially if lo havalei lemeida, that kind of onus one would think would be a bigger problem in Kabanos than it is worth saying. So that's a double-edged sword. Maybe it depends on the level of ones or omer mutter, the degree to which there's havalei lemeida. Again, the differences between the different types of Tinok Shenishba and Omer Mutters would come into play there as well. Okay. And then, of course, the other thing we noted was, in general, we should, the backdrop of this whole issue needs to look at whether Onus is a Hafka Samaisa, or it's a Ptur Onish, or whether it's a Maisa, Felitzi, or Plagabra, and whether or not different areas of Halacha, we would distinguish the impact of Onus, and particularly Halachic Onus, Shimios and Sichlios, where Ben Adam Chavero comes into play, might be another place to draw the line, Umala, Bomal, Amal, Hashem Mal, how much of a religious action as opposed to a religiously abhorrent, more general kind of action. These distinctions will make sense under these circumstances. Okay, so that's what we did yesterday. Now we move on to Munbaz, Rav Yochanan, and Reish Lakish. So we read part of it, but let's just run over again, and then let's just finish reading it. And once we do that, then let's begin analyzing it. Okay, let's... Yossi Golden? Okay, start getting on top of the names that I don't know yet. And again, well, maybe next week we'll start with our appointment list for anybody who's interested. Yossi, go ahead. Just very quickly running over, you know, some of the presentations too, because, yeah. But quickly, because we did it already, so. I think so. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. So really, the Binyanav, we'll call it, is very, very interesting. Okay. Well, we'll go through everything first, and then we'll go back to it. But the first thing to note is that Winba's position is based on Binyanav. Okay. And then the continuation, as we'll see, it's also based on the Hekesh. And the question is, what is the relationship between those two things? Okay. Go ahead. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva is arguing, as we said previously, reductio ad absurdum, from his point of view, or so it would appear. And that is that, you know, if this is based on an equation between Shogig and Mezid, so basically he's accusing him of Eilud HaRasof, of saying that there is no more Shogig, or at least that there are no standards of Shogig. almost anything will count as a Shogig. Okay, that's the question. The interesting thing is to read this line of Rabbi Akiva according to one day in the Ramban. Okay, anybody know what I mean by that? To read this line of Rabbi Akiva in light of one day of the Ramban. Ephraim? Moshe? No. See? According to one day of Shlomo? Excellent. Chayev, even if this idea is Bishas Maisa. If Ramban has the possibility, we'll analyze this more fully in a minute, but the Ramban has the possibility that Rabbi Akiva actually might agree with Munbaz that when you do a Maisa, Bemezid, with the one exception of Shigigas Karban, right Shlomo, that you actually would bring in other words, Rabbi Akiva agrees with the more extreme aspect of Munvaz's Shita. Okay. Now, if that's true, now what motivates the Ramban to say it, by the way, Shlomo?
Well, maybe similar to the way Rashi goes that the Ramban would be not like Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Shmuel.
Yeah, exactly. And the Sugya that we haven't done yet, we'll read in just a minute, the Gemara, the Rashi at one point suggests that that you know only you know Munvaz believes in Shvuas Bitu L'Sha'avar. And the question Bali Tosis already asked is if Rabbi Akiva argues on Munvaz, that would seem to exclude him as believing in Shvuas Bitu L'Sha'avar. Problem with that is. You're correct. The problem with that is that of all people in the world to exclude from Shua's Vita L'Sha'avar, the only one you couldn't is Rabbi Akiva. Why?
He's the one who says that you can be chayav.
He's the one who disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel and says that there is Shua's Vita L'Sha'avar. So if Shua's Vita L'Sha'avar can only be according to Munbaz, and Rabbi Akiva is the author of Shua's Vita L'Sha'avar, so it would seem that Rabbi Akiva believes in Munbaz. But of all people to believe in Munvaz, Rabbi Akiva, isn't he the one who's reductio ad absurding him? Right? So that's the problem of the Ramban. So Ramban has two answers to that question. But the first answer the Ramban gives is, who says Rabbi Akiva, again, only Ramban could say something like this, but who says Rabbi Akiva can't believe in Munvaz? He does. So we'll elaborate in just a minute. But of course, then he says, but if he does, then how do you read this line in the Gemara? Isn't it Rabbi Akiva who says to me, "Maz beiz choisa yidia b'shas ma'isa of shogeg, choisa yidia b'shas ma'isa"? And Munva says, "Yeah, you're right. Thank you very much." Amar lo hein. Bekolshken shel sachtalo v'dvarecha. Right? Sounds like Rabbi Akiva wasn't saying to him, and if you hold this, so then you should hold this, and then Munva said, yeah, absolutely right, and then Rabbi Akiva said, oh. Rabbi Akiva didn't say, oh. Rabbi Akiva was saying, it's impossible. And Munva was saying, not so impossible. So how do we maintain the impossibility of the conversation on Samech Ches Amud Beis if you hold that according to Rabbi Akiva, you can hold like Munva's? So we'll get back to that. But that's just foreshadowing. That is going to be an important issue to confront. Okay, go ahead. Yossi?
Says, yeah, you're right. And like, I did that point as well. Because
yeah, so Mekiva, again, this proves that, you know, Mekiva wasn't just assisting Munva's, you know, along with his, you know, with his interpretation. He was saying to him, but you can't say that. You know, you can almost, you know, see him gesticulating, you know, all those years ago. Okay, go ahead. In the car, show you get amazing. Go ahead. Funny,
yeah. At the end of the day, we see that
it's
not the
right.
So this Shabbat Rav Shimon Licha, El Rav Yochanan Rav Shimon Ben Makish Kasha, and Lo Rav Shimon Rav Yochanan Rav Shlakish, Lo Miika Munbaz Bepadan, and Rav Yochanan Munbaz.
Yeah, don't forget, don't discount Munbaz. Which is, of course, a little funny because the Gemara just said Rabbi Akiva, you know, refused to give in. Ah, so maybe Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Munbaz, or what? Or maybe we could work within Rabbi Akiva if we don't have to accept this reductio ad absurdum. Because Munbaz accepted Rabbi Akiva's reductio ad absurdum, and he said, thank you so much. And then Rabbi Akiva said, what do you mean by that? Right? But in theory, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish could accept the first point of Munbaz and not accept the second point. Okay, that's what we'll have to analyze. Okay, go ahead. My time is the Munbaz. Okay, so this is, of course, the other intriguing thing in the Gemara, and that is, we just said Munbaz was based on a Binyanav, and now we're saying it's based on the Hekesh. What is the relationship between these two things? Okay, so Rashi weighs in on that question, as does Tosis, as does the Ramban. Again, we'll just read through the whole Shaka Bataria first, and then we'll go back and analyze that. But obviously, that could be very important. The Munbaz has one halacha, two halachos. If there are two halachos, are they connected? Are they disconnected? Can you take one without the other? Can you take either one without the other? But those are the questions we need to look at. Okay, go ahead. Okay. So this is to teach you a general principle about what is Mechayev Chatos. Maybe this link between Kares and Chatos. The Tosas al-Atar is very important. Tosas brings up several things. Number one, the issue of Pesach Umila, okay, which I have to look at. Why, what's the issue of Pesach Umila? Is it Tosas? Elichai? You have Chiyuv Kares, B'li Chiyuv Lav. It's the only Kares that you're Chayv Mitzatasei. So the question is, what about that? Is there a korban in Mila and Korban Pesach? Clearly not. Okay. So you have kares and mitzvah saseh, no lav, and no korban. The question is, how does that work with this rule? There may be other exceptions to this rule. Possibly Isi ben Yehuda, right? Not so clear. I mean, Isi ben Yehuda. What is Isi ben Yehuda again, Yossi? Remember? Sam?
Isi ben Yehuda says there's one of the malachos of Shabbos that you're not hired for. Right. The
anonymous, mysterious malacha for which you're not chayev. Not chayev what? That's the question. Not chayev.
Okay. So Misa. According to Tosfos, it's only Sila and other people are arguing.
Exactly. So that's the idea of Isi ben Yehuda, the first parak, and it's, and again, it's it's all over the place, and then Hazorek we have here also. Tosfos quotes it here on this daf, right? The Issa ben Yehuda said there's one of the 39 Avos Malacha that is different, that you're not chayev a misa for. Then there's Machlokas Rishonim, we touched on already on Avayim, right? What about Korban? Does Issa ben Yehuda agree that there's a Korban, or does he disagree with that as well? So Tosfos says he thinks that there is certainly a Korban, there's just no misa. Now, no misa, no skila, or also no kares? Certainly no skila, we're not so sure about the kares. The other Rishonim disagree, and they say, the Ben Hanano, or the Nisangon, the Chidushei Haran, printed Chidushei Haran. So they don't like breaking this equation between Misa and Korban. But again, you have to look at Skila. Well, there are other cases where there's not Skila, but there is a Korban, or Kares. Okay, so Issa ben Yehuda is something to look at, which is the relationship between Kares and Korban. Mila and Korban Pesach is something to look at in terms of the relationship between Kares and Korban. And then there's Mechamer, which again I spoke of when I was here on Shabbos. According to, what is it, Rav Zeira, and the Sugya later on, in the Kuf Nun Dalid, there are more cases, but just the ones that are local even. Kuf Nun Dalid says that, one second. I'm sorry, Rav Bar Chama? Yes. Zvid Masli Hach, Am Rav Bar Chama. Yeah, it's Zvid Amin Bar Chama, as opposed to the real first Rav Bar Chama, is that Mechamer is Chayiv everything. Mechamer Hachem Hemta B'Shabbos, Chayiv Chatos B'Mezid Chayiv Skiva. That's on Kuf Nun Gimel Beis. Then Rav Zvid Masli Hach, Am Rav Bar Chama. Mechamer Hachem Hemta B'Shabbos, B'Shogeg Eino Chayiv Chatos, B'Mezid Chayiv Skiva. So you have Koris and Skiva, but you don't have... you don't have a chatas. That's opposite of Issa ben Yehuda, according to Bali Tosfos, where you have a chatas, but you don't have the misa components. Okay, and again, the asay of Pesach and Mila, where you have the kares, also without the chatas. Okay, then of course you also have. One other example, just right here, and that is Shvuas Bitui, right, where you have a Korban, again, without Karis. You have Korban Chatas without Karis. Shvuas Bitui as well. So you have four cases that seem to be exceptions to the rule that is elaborated here about the relationship between Zdono Karis and Shigigaso Chatas. Okay, that's something to look into. Okay, and it touches on what we spoke about when we talked about Daf Ayin and the Ramban there, namely, to what extent is this relationship a cause and effect relationship, or kind of a mechayiv, or is it just a shiur? If it's a shiur, so maybe there are other things that can substitute. I mean, what kind of Isur is it? The kind of Isur that, you know, is chamor, which has misa. But if the chumra comes from somewhere else, then maybe you can get a chatas that way. But you can break the equation. It's more of a two-stage equation. If it's more that the chiyuv, kares, is mechayiv, bishkaga, korban, so then it's more difficult to have exceptions in either direction. Okay, but either way, the Gemara should be looked at with this in mind. Continue. So this, of course, is the big chiddush of Munbaz, that Shkoga, the second, what Rabbi Kiva and he were discussing before, namely the Yadalei, almost Lagamri B'Shat, the chiddush is that that's still considered to be a Shkoga. What we have to analyze in Munbaz is only this circumstance is Mechayiv, question number one, and even if also this, right, what does it say about the category of Shkoga and its relationship to Nathan? A lot, or not very much. It really just says more about the impact of korban, right? The significance of knowing something is mechayev a korban or not. And those are the possibilities with the munvaz. We'll elaborate in just a couple more minutes. Okay. But either way, munvaz's chiddush is open to several interpretations. Go ahead, Rabbanan. Right. So which point of Munvaz do they disagree with? That's the question. Are they just disagreeing with his analysis of the centrality or significance of Shikas Karban? Or are they disagreeing with him on what Shkaga is? Essentially, what is a Shkaga? Not so much the role of Karban that they agree on. Given the role of Karban, is Iyadiyas Karban enough of a Shkaga? How much Shkaga do you require? What is the nature of Shkaga? Okay, go ahead. Right, so just as we asked the question, how much of a gap is there between Munvaz and the others, so too we should ask the question, how much of a gap is there between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? Is Rabbi Yochanan basically like Munvaz, with an adjustment, or is it radically different than Munvaz? Is Reish Lakish basically like Rabbi Yochanan with an adjustment, or is he have a completely different perspective? Okay. Not clear in the Gemara at all. It's clear that we have three levels, Shigas Karban, Shigas Kares, Shigas La Vikares, but it's not clear whether these are, as I said, just, you know, a quantitative hierarchy, or they represent different perspectives on what Shkaga is. Quantitative difference, or maybe not even that. Maybe really just a debate about how to achieve the same agreed upon goal and definition. But do you achieve it with Karban? Do you achieve it with Kares? Or do you achieve it with Dafka, with La Bikares? Okay. One of the things that's not clear at all is what will Rabbi Yochanan say? This is where the Rishonim come in. What will Rabbi Yochanan say about, Sam?
What will Rabbi Yochanan say? About Shigas Karban.
Well, that we know.
Shigas
Karban lo shma shkaga. That we know.
Shigas lav.
What will he say? Yeah, good. What will he say about Shigas lav bizadon?
Oh, bizadon. I'm not sure.
Well, Karis, for example.
How is that possible?
How is that possible? Well, it is possible.
How?
He might say that he's not so well halachically grounded.
He knows that he gets
karis,
but it's not.
He knows he gets karis b'meizid, but he doesn't know that he gets chatas b'shogeg. First of all, such a thing is possible, isn't it?
How's that shigas lav?
I'm sorry. He knows that he gets karis, but he doesn't know that he violates a lav. Why is that impossible? He thinks it's the equivalent of karban pesach and mila.
Well, no, but there's a mitzvah still. A lav is just good. A certain kind of mitzvah. So there's an assay, so there's a lav. So like.
Okay, so let's say he thinks that this is right. Let's say he thinks that it's a mitzvah assay, sheish bakares. But there's no lav. Is that enough of a, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is that enough of a shkaga? No, if he thinks it's a lav, but there's no kares, Rabbi Yochanan says that's enough of a shkaga.
That wouldn't be good.
How do you know?
Because where Yochanan learns his outcome.
Okay, so based on the limud, you think it would work. Okay, very good point. So we'll see if there are any Rishonim who disagree. Well, the truth is, right, I mean, Bali Tosas speak about this issue on one level. On Munvaz, they speak about it. Munvaz, they ask the question, Lo matzil meimar sheshogag belav dehizib bekarba. Right, Tosas demask ala munvaz shkaga b'mai. Right, Tosas raises the question for munvaz. Instead of shigas karban and zadon everything else, let's say he had zadon everything else, but shigas lav. Right? It's also strange. You say, it doesn't seem like such a big Talmud Chacham to be able to think that, but it's possible. For Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, these questions are more open. So you're saying because of limud, inconceivable. Maybe. Or maybe not. Maybe Kal v'chomer. Maybe the limud teaches you that even Shigigas Kares is enough of a shkaga. And I wouldn't have known that if not for the limud, because one would have thought that Kares is more peripheral than the issue of lav. But Kal v'chomer, if a person, you know, thinks that there's Kares but doesn't even know that there's a lav, I mean, it depends what we learn from that limud. Are we also including Kares? Are we only including, is something unique about Kares? So that we'll get back to that. But in the case of the Gemara itself, we really don't know. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we can speculate, and what Sam said is good. It's good speculation based on Limud. But aside from speculation, it's hard to know what will Rabbi Yochanan say about Shigigas lav v'zadon karas.
Okay.
By the same token, what will Rosh Lakish say? Rosh Lakish says what? That you need shigas lav vikares. But it's not perfectly clear, again, what will Rabbi Yochanan say if it's shigas lav v'zadon karas? Right. Does he mean, does he need both? Or does he mean that you certainly need shigas lav? In other words, Reish Lakish is saying that in Rabbi Yochanan's case, you are too much of a mazid because you know that it's asr, that it's balav. Okay, but if you didn't know, if you, again, same exact circumstance. Let's say you thought it was a karis bali lav. Okay, what would Rabbi Yochanan, what would Rabbi Shlakish say about that case? Or for that matter, let's say it was, an asay. Let's say it was an asay she'ein bo lav ve'ein bo kare. So it would also be a question in Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish. So you know that this is asur, but you think it's only asur be mitzvah asay. Okay? So is that a shkaga? We only say that you need shigas lav, maybe vikares, because we're assuming that you know those are the only things that make something asur. But if he specifically felt that there was no lav, there was no kares, but there is a mitzvah asay, what would be in that case? And that's of course partially the question of the Rishonim. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say that. Yeah.
That? Go ahead.
No, that well, that we discussed that before when we. When we wanted to,
correct.
So we, exactly when we wanted to know if when we were discussing the essay of Shabbos, if when we were about
said that's Tosis's question and that's the Rishonim's question. The Rishonim asked the question. Who do they ask it according to? Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan?
Reish
Lakish. Because Reish Lakish, as we're about to read again, I'm assuming everybody read anything, so we're just running through to making some additional ha'aros, but I'm allowed to. So that people read everything already. See, the Gemara is about to say that according to Munvaz, you can easily have Zadon, Shabbos, Vishigas, Malachos. It's a no-brainer with Munvaz. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you can also have Zadon, Shabbos, Vishigas, Malachos because he's a Shogeg in Karis and he's amazing in Malach. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, it says, Hachi Yishkok be Lad ube Karis, so Hechan Matsinan, Hechan Mishkachaslev, Zadon Shabbos Shigas Malachos. That's the Gemara's question, and the Gemara ends up saying, "The only mitzvah, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva." The next Gemara that we're about to read, that Yossi is going to read. Right. So the question that Rishonim asked there, and Bali Tosis, the Ramban, the Ritva, others, etc., is why not say the Yodalei B'Shabbos V'Asei? So that seems to imply. Now again, we're talking about Reish Lakish. So the Yodalei B'Shabbos V'Asei, is that considered Zadon Shabbos v'shigigas malacha? So previously when we discussed this question, we attacked it from the perspective, is it enough Zadon Shabbos? Right, or is it like knowing Kiddush v'Havdalah, or even less? Right? How central is the mitzvah asay? How significant is knowledge of the mitzvah asay? And we added the more subtle question, how significant is knowledge of the mitzvah asay in the absence of the knowledge of the lav? In other words, maybe the mitzvah asay plays a very central role in conjunction with, but once you separate it from the lav, and that was my suggestion for the Rambam and the Ramban, then, you know, it's a different, the mitzvah asay doesn't have the same meaning and significance anymore. Out of context, it loses its power. Okay. But that all is an analysis of whether or not mitzvah asay qualifies for Zadon Shabbos sufficiently. The other side of the coin is, does it qualify for Shigigas Malachos? Because if I think that the malachos are prohibited as essen and not as lavin, according to Reish Lakish, if I really think that, so is that enough of a shogeg for Reish Lakish? Maybe Reish Lakish really requires, finish the sentence, Daniel? Well, what am I trying to suggest? Sammy? Maybe a Reish Lakish really requires something very, very logical, just that we have so many other shittas that we sometimes forget the most you know, what our reflexive, you know, definitions are. Arye. Is it the lav or say it better? Maybe what Reish Lakish requires in the extreme is, because say shigas lav, that doesn't help us for the asay. What's the issue really? There's more at stake in this question than only where does Reish Lakish draw the line. It's for munvaz, for Rabbi Yochanan. Right, the question of where you draw the line seems to be a critical question, but we're already in the land of subtlety, right? But in the figure of Reish Lakish here, we have an opportunity to say something a little more clear cut. Sam,
you just have to forget everything.
You have to think that this is permissible. If you think that it's asur, that's not a shogeg anymore. Again, probably most people would have, if I stopped you on the street and I said, you know, what constitutes a shogeg? Before we started learning these sugyas, or maybe learned other sugyas, so everybody would have said, he thinks that he's allowed to do it. Right? Omer mutter, and then, you know, omer mutter for the halakhic reason, or omer mutter for the identification reasons. But anytime we think something is usur, but, it's usur, but it's not so usur. It's usur, but doesn't have this onish. It doesn't have this designation and so on, that's a shogeg. That's a form of mezid. Right? So, for Rabbi Yochanan, for Munvaz, we don't have the luxury of thinking like that anymore. Because we know that they think that it can still be a shogeg, even though you know it's absolutely prohibited in Torah. But for Reish Lakish, that's what I mean about the gap between them. It could be quantitative, and it could even be a debate about the significance of various details, right? How significant is it to know that something is chayav b'karban? What does it say about it? Or is it, you know, even if it doesn't say anything about the category, is it an important piece of information? And what about karis? And what about the lav as opposed to an asay? And so on and so forth. Could be. What I mean about there being qualitative differences, this is what I mean. Right? Maybe for Reish Lakish, we could suggest that a purist conception of shkaga. Anytime you know something is asur, that's already not shkaga. So then, does it matter whether or not you is a dafka b'lav or b'karish shabo? Let's say you're shogeg b'lav or b'karish shabo, but not b'mitzvah saseh. Okay, that doesn't have to be the only way to interpret the machlokas. It also could be a question of, in general, you know, how big a gap is there between an asay and a lav, right? You know, do you really know? It's just like we said for the Ramban and the Rambam. When you only know an asay, you know, are you just you know about the iser just that the level of onesh is different, or it's totally different than asay? An asay is an opportunity. It's a kiyum, and a lav is a maisa veira. That can also be a very big difference. But I'm saying within Reish Lakish, at least we have the option of saying Reish Lakish thinks as long as you know something is usur, everything else pales into insignificance. Okay, and then the problem of whether or not there is or isn't, whether Yedia Saseh is enough, isn't only a question of Zadon Shabbos. It's a question of Shigigas Malachos. Does it fall short on the level of Shul Sid Rishonim? Discuss it, Ramban, the Ritzvah, and so on. It's a Chisaron. Perhaps in Shigas Malachos, if you think it's also Basse. Was a question? Yeah.
Because I've seen Shigas everything. Can you say Shigas Shabbos, or is there perhaps a difference between Shigas everything versus Shigas Shabbos? That perhaps the concept of Shabbos for that, awesome and loving, although it's very difficult to appreciate that, but is that possible there's a difference between saying Shigas Shabbos?
So I'm not sure what you mean by Shigas Shabbos.
You say Shigas everything, which includes the lav and the asur.
I mean that in order to be qualified, let me make it clear. In order to qualify as a shogeg, you have to think that you're allowed to do something.
What we're suggesting for Reish Lakish.
Right. Maybe. Right.
Right. So then, is that the same thing as saying Shigas Shabbos, or is there perhaps something which still exists?
Is that the same as saying, no, the issue here is, that's what I'm saying. When you ask the question whether the mitzvah asay, yediyas asay, is enough, to qualify as Zadon Shabbos and Shigdas Malachos, all I'm saying is you have to ask that question on two levels. Previously, we discussed it in terms of whether or not Yediyas Aseh is sufficient Zadon Shabbos. Right? Is it sufficient information? Is it sufficient knowledge? Now we're raising the question whether or not it isn't too much knowledge that undermines Shigigas Malachos. So Shigas Shabbos isn't going to help you on this part of it. I'm interested now on the Shigas Malachos part of it. If you know that you're not allowed to do Zareya, and you're not allowed to do Kotzer, and you're not allowed to do Ma'amer, but you think that it's only Aser B'Mikvas Aseh, is that really Shigigas, is that sufficient Shigigas Malacha to warrant a Korban? As opposed to the question, is it sufficient knowledge of Shabbos, of Zodon Shabbos, so that it isn't Helem Zev Zev Yoda? There are two problems. I think you have to relate to both. I think you could, you know, discuss both issues. So of course this question of, you know, whether Mitzvah Seh qualifies, then is a dual question. Number one, how radical is Reish Lakish? Number two, how big a gap is there between Mitzvah Seh and Allah? The first question would also determine the question of, you know, what if Yada Bekares Velo Yada Balav? That's the question I raised before. Right? Because we're saying, no, any idea that it's Asur is enough. That's the point of Reish Lakish. Whereas the second question about the degree of the gap between them, you have to handle each one separately. Right? They have to figure out what is the significance of knowledge of Korban, what is the significance of knowledge of Karis, what is the significance of knowledge of Lav, what is the significance of the gap between Karis and Lav, and then the difference between Ase and Lav. Okay. Let's continue. Go ahead. Okay. So we just analyze what the larger options are, and then we're going to fill in the blanks as we with some of the Rishon. Go ahead. Okay. So the question to raise here, the Gemara introduces a new element here, the concept of Mumar and Shav Midiyasa. We have to figure out what is the difference between Mumar and Shav. Well, I mean, technically, yeah, clearly, a Mumar is somebody with a larger track record, reputation. Mumar is definitely something one would think that relates to the Gavra, status of the Gavra. He's a Rasha. Shav Midiyaso seems, on the surface at least, to focus more narrowly on the conditions of the Shkaga, or the Aveira. What brought you to the Aveira, or what might have been Porish you from the Aveira. We'll have to see if that really holds up or not, or it too is some form of status of the Gavra. Okay, that we'll look at. But what's interesting in addition to that is that this whole concept of Shav Midiyaso raises an interesting question. Could that be a definition of Shkaga? Or is that just an additional prerequisite in Shkaga? That's the Gemara here seems to say, if it's not Shav Midiyaso, so that's not Shkaga. But is anything that he would be Shav Midiyaso Shkaga? That's not clear. That would be a very, also, extreme definition of Shkaga. We don't really care about the quality of the Shkaga per se. We care whether or not it's the difference between his being an Avarian and his not being an Avarian. Or is doing the Ma'is Aveira, better to say, or not doing the Ma'is Aveira. Shkaga is any mistake which pushes you over the edge. So that's a question. We'll see whether or not some of the definitions of the Rishonim may not be based on that. For example, for Munvaz, that might be an issue. But maybe even for others too. Especially for Munvaz. Since Munvaz anyway seems like he's pushing it with the definition of Shkaga, right, he's pushing the limits by saying Shigas Karban is all you need. Right? So is it possible that what he's really saying is any Shav Midiyaso? But of course that raises another question. The Gemara introduces Shav Midiyaso here. Is it clear that Shav Midiyaso is a requirement for all of the Mandamrim? seems for Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, certainly. Does Munvaz believe in Shav Midiyasa? On a practical level, in other words, does Munvaz assume that Shigas Korban is Shav Midiyasa? I always found that to be a little strange. Meaning, the fellow is going ahead and he knows it's an Aveiram, he knows he's Chayv Lav, he knows he's Chayv Akares. The only thing he doesn't know is that if he did it b'shogeg, he would be Chayv Chatas, which anyway is a kind of a catch-22, as we'll explain in a minute. So, that's the difference between him doing it and not doing it? He's not fazed by the Lav, he's not fazed by the Kares, by the Skila, but if he would know that if he did a Peshoge, he'd drive a korban, he wouldn't touch the Saber with a 10-foot pole. Okay, just the Metzius of it is, it's true that I'm trying to formulate it in a dramatic way, but it doesn't take much. Probably if it did, I wouldn't be able to do it. But okay. Bali Tosis assume as a Davar Pashut that Shav Midiyasa is a factor according to Munvaz. Again, from two perspectives, I'm questioning that. I'm questioning it on a practical level. Is it so? I mean, is this really the difference? Hard to believe. And I'm questioning it maybe conceptually. Meaning, if Munvaz really has a different theory of Shkaga than everybody else, then is it such a davar pashut that because Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish have Shav Midiyasa that Munvaz has it? So Bali Tosfos assume yes. Read it very quickly if you don't mind. Did you? What? Okay. Who saw it already? Ellie?
Elamus?
Yeah. Very quickly though. Go ahead.
Elamus?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's already that's where it is. That's the assumption. But when you see something like that, you have to say, ah. Okay. Meaning the assumption is that Shav Midiyasa is a factor for Munvaz. Now the question is, practically, does it mean or not? Go ahead. So again, Tosis addresses this problem too, in a way. I mean, Tosis says, well, if the guy knows that he's going to get the death penalty, and that doesn't stop, that's not a deterrent. But knowing that had he done it for Karban, he would have gotten a Karban, that's going to be a deterrent. The Tosfos says, that's crazy. But when it comes to Kares, or Lav, not the end of the world. Why? Apapi, the Behez of Kares. Kasha Leisham Midiyasa the Karban. Go ahead. I know. So maybe it's the combination. It doesn't have to be because of the carbon alone. It's, if I only think that it's so bad, I'll do it. But if it's over my limit of rishus, and what does it take to get over that limit? Just a little bit more. Just the carbon. Okay. But Tulsa says, well, that what we will not say is that that a person thinks he's going to get the death penalty and he proceeds anyway. We don't believe that he'll be poresh because of the extra piece of carbon. Okay, so Tosis is addressing problem number two, certainly. And Tosis is assuming all of this because he's assuming that Munvaz believes in Shav Midiyasa. I have no proof that he doesn't, but at least I think that one could argue that maybe he doesn't. In which case, not only would that be an important nafkamina, but again, the case of Tosis. Could be the nafkamina. Let's say yadalei b'skila, because the Gemara doesn't say that this halacha of shigas karban shma shkaga is only in a case of karis and not skila. So in Achanami, let's say yadalei b'skila, in a case where there is skila, take Shabbos, yadalei b'karis or b'skila. But lo yada le bekarban. I mean, the Gemara actually, doesn't the Gemara say that dishlam according to munvaz? Yeah, how would Tosfos deal with that? I guess, okay. I mean, it doesn't have to be that hechtimsi, but because munvaz has more than one possibility. But at least munvaz certainly also is talking about the case of. I don't think what Tosfos is saying is so obvious, in a word. On a practical level, certainly not, although he does make one adjustment. But conceptually, depending on how you understand munvaz, again, if Tosfos understands munvaz as an adjustment of the others, Shigas Karban, Shigas Karis, Shigas Lag, Shigas Ase, where do you draw the line? Then the assumption that some major principle in Chatos, like Shavmi Diaso, is not going to be swallowed up in the, in Munvaz Halacha is reasonable. And I think probably Tosfos does hold that way. Okay. Okay, let's continue. Right. This Shlomo. I take it back. So the Gemara doesn't mention Munvaz specifically in this context. Okay, go ahead. Right. So this again, we're going to come back to this. Just how does this mean that Chumen is a very central institution in Hilchos Shabbos, or does it mean that Zadon Shabbos doesn't require such a central institution? Okay, that's going to have important consequences for Chumen. Think about it very quickly. It's also going to have consequences for the other candidates that are rejected, if indeed they are rejected. Things like Katoldos and Chatzishir and Mechamer and Mitzasasei and Isi Ben Yehuda. But the other candidates for being for providing the answer to this problem, are they good candidates or not? If so, because they too are central, or if not, because they're more peripheral. Okay, go ahead. Mantan Allah Tanravanan. Yeah. This, of course, is very difficult. This line is very difficult according to, I'm assuming, knowledge for a moment. Michael? What? This line is very difficult. As
according to those who say that Munvaz would only be in the
Chayiv. Excellent.
For
Yeah, who says that? Well, not Ramban. Ramban actually brings this right, as the Tosfos against. There is one Rishon who says only, this only pshat. Who is it? Rabbi Nachman. Very good.
Are you guessing?
Are you guessing? So you're an honest man. Okay, but the Bali Tosfos and Ramban assume the Pasha can't be this way. And they say, hey, we can't be that way because of this Gemara. For what does Rabbeinu Chananel do with this Gemara? That's a problem. Okay. This Gemara implies that even Munvaz believes that a real Shkaga, we'll call it, a classical, conventional Shkaga, is Chayiv Karban. That's what it appears. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, this is a problem. Rabbeinu Chananel says, Vichi Amru, this is towards the bottom of Samech Esam Adveis, So the Rabbeinu Chananel is a radical view on Munvaz. that munvaz halacha, there aren't two dinim of munvaz, there aren't two shkagos of munvaz. The only shkaga for munvaz is shigigas korban. Okay? Ukinatanya. The munvaz, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, lo svir lukavase. But according to Rabbi Hananel, munvaz halacha is the only shkaga is shigas karban. I would suspect that according to Rabbi Hananel, you couldn't say what Tosfos says, which is that yada le beskila v'lo yada le bekarban would be would not be a shkaga. I don't think you could say that according to Rabbi Hananel, because you always have to have shigas karban. If you have more than shigas karban, you may not have enough yediyah. May not be enough of a chote. Okay, we'll get back to it. Okay, go ahead. Arabaya. Yeah. Oh, so this is very, 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 very important. An exception, a possible exception, a possible exception for Rabbi Yochanan. So depending on how we understand Rabbi Yochanan's halacha and the degree to which he disagrees with munvaz, again, if he basically disagrees with munvaz, but depends what that but is. So then we might understand this possible exception. When it comes to Shua's Bitui, where there is no kares, so then the karban is, let's say, more central, or then it's not redundant, because if you know one, you don't have anything to know about the karban without knowing about the karban. Okay. On the other hand, if the point of Rabbi Yochanan against munvaz is that yediyas karban is just not a shkaga. Because the role of karbanos is not the central role that karbanos play doesn't qualify it for shkaga. Has nothing to do with whether there is or isn't kares. It just has to do with the inadequacy of shigas karban. So then, this should not make a difference. Okay, go ahead. Halacha the lake of kares. Oh, okay, so now we have to analyze more fully. Okay, go ahead. Next thing. Yeah, so according to the problem with Shua's Bitul Shavar, Yasi, is you have to walk a fine line between. Whether there is a Shua's Bitul Shavar is Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, as we already noted. Rabbi Kiva says yes, Rabbi Shmuel says it's only Shua's Bitul Abba. Part of the problem is, as the Gemara explains in Shavuos, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, part of the problem is you have to walk a fine line between Ones and Mezid. Right? And in particular, when it comes to Shavua, Torah tells us Ha'adam, right? Asheri, it says Ha'adam, so we say Ha'adam b'Shavua. Sho yivatei Ha'adam b'Shavua. So Ha'adam b'Shavua means he has to, it has to be conscious. It has to be intentional. So the problem is, if his shua shkaga l'shavar, if he knows that he's lying, he's mezid. If he doesn't know he's lying, in addition to the regular din of onus and kol tarkul, there may even be a higher tour of onus and shvua, ha'adam b'shvua. So you have to walk a fine line between not being mezid and yet not being onus either. So the suggestion that the Gemara makes in Shavuos is that this is through Shigigas Karban. Correct? Question, is that only according to Munvaz, or is it also according to the Chachamim? Right? Another interesting question that Rabbi Rishonim asks here, is this only a question according to Rabbi Yochanan, or even according to Reish Lakish? Right? The Gemara asks the question according to Rabbi Yochanan. Right? But if the Gemara, according to the view that the Gemara considers it's possible that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Shigas Karban in the case of Shuas Bitui will be a Shkaga. What about Rish Lakish? Now, if the role of Karbanos in Shuas Bitui is really so different, if it's just a substitution for Kares, so then we understand, for whatever reason, we understand why it's Dafka limited to Rabbi Yochanan. So there's no Kares here. But if the point of Chidushu Shechid Shetorah is not so much that we're lacking Kares here and what it accomplishes, but it is that the role of Karbanos in Shuas Bitui is different than it is in Kol Tara Kula, so maybe we should reassess Rabbi Yochanan for Reish Lakish as well. Right, that's also a question. Unless, again, we were to say, we have to sum all this up later, but as we're going across, unless we were to say, Moshe? Yeah, unless the point, if the point of Reish Lakish versus Rabbi Yochanan was not simply, again, the quantitative one, you know, your kares is Munbaz's karban, and I think you need more. But if Reish Lakish was saying something more absolute, namely, as long as you think there's a heter to do what you're doing, that's shkaga. And the second that you know that it's asur, even if you don't know anything close to the full extent of it, that's not a shkaga. So then we understand well why it's not going to matter at all, according to Reish Lakish, whether karban has a special role to play in the context of Shuas Vitui. It can have the most central role in the universe. But the fact is, you still know that it's asur, and that's enough. The important thing for Reish Lakish is, as long as you know it's asur, it's not a shoga. What you don't know isn't the problem. What you do know is the problem. Let me say it that way. Whereas for Reish Lakish, for Rabbi Yochanan, the issue is both what you do know and what you don't know. Okay. So it's just interesting to note that the Gemara's Solka Dai Dechamina is Dafka for Rabbi Yochanan. I'm just pointing out that could be explained, I think, in one of three ways. Either because Rabbi Yochanan is the closest one to Munvaz in the hierarchy, but Hu Adin, you could say it otherwise, or because it's a question of the relationship between Kares and Chatas generally. And here you don't have that. Whatever that means, I'll explain that when we get to more fully, when we flesh it out more. But that again is not a factor for Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't care, for Reish Lakish, because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't care about Kares either. Or simply because, even if it has nothing to do with Kares and its relationship to Karban, maybe it has to do with the centrality of Karban in Bitui, which in theory could be something relevant to Reish Lakish as well, but if Reish Lakish's point is not about what you don't know, but about what you do know, namely, as long as you know it's asur, for whatever reason, that's enough, then we understand well why this could not be an issue for Reish Lakish. Okay, let's continue. You can read the parentheses if you want, because this is actually Shitas Harambam, and it seems like the Gemara in Shavuos' conclusion. Go ahead. Maybe this isn't just a Havamina, but maybe this is really true. Go ahead. Right. Yeah. Okay, so this, according to this sheet, it really is so, and this might be Shita Salam. Okay, let's continue. Oh, so this is already a little tricky. Hakol modim b'truma, now we're asking in the other direction. Hakol modim b'truma, maybe Rabbi Yochanan will agree with Reish Lakish. Before we were considering Rabbi Yochanan, the middle shita might go towards Munvaz in Shuas Bitui, and now we're considering that Rabbi Yochanan might go towards Reish Lakish when it comes to Chomesh and Truma. Right, Ad Sheyishgo Belav Shabbat, meaning Shigigas Okay, continue. Hakamodim man,
Rabbi Yochanan.
So the question is, again, this highlights, it's the opposite problem in a way, but parallel opposite, again. Before we wanted to know, will Rabbi Yochanan change when you take Karis out of the equation? Will he allow even Shigigas Karban to play a role? And now we want to know, when Karis is out of the equation, whether you dafka need Shigigas Lav, whether he'll move closer to Resh Lakish. But again, the point may be that even if he does move closer to Resh Lakish, one thing Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have an option to say, namely the absolute view. You cannot say for Rabbi Yochanan, knowledge of Iser eliminates Shkaga. It has to be about what he doesn't know, the level of what he doesn't know, not about what he still knows. So the point is that when we say he's moving towards the Rabbi Yochanan, he's moving towards the Shlakish, so if a Shlakish is an adjustment on Rabbi Yochanan, meaning even Reish Lakish is about what you don't know, not about what you do know. So I guess the mode here makes more sense. So the question is Misas Bezdin Techomesh what Karis is Techatas? Sounds like a GRE or something, right? That's the question. That's the question, and that's a legitimate question. Right? Either it's a question about the nature of Misas Bezdin and Chomesh, or what it was that was significant about Kares and Karban to begin with. But the point is, one thing you can't get is this absolute position of Reish Lakish. So if you hold Reish Lakish as a relative position, not an absolute one, then the word modim will make a lot more sense here. Okay. Continue. Yeah. Okay. So basically what we have then is a very fascinating Shaka Bataria. We have three Shitos. We have Munvaz. We have Rabbi Yochanan. And we have Reish Lakish. We also have a host of possible definitions for Shkaga. Okay. On the extremes, we might say that Shkaga is, as I say, one extreme possibility within Reish Lakish, only when you don't know that it's Asur. Why you don't think it's Asur, that's a different point. That's a question of Karav Lemezid, Karav Leones. That's also a relevant question. But in terms of the content of your Shkaga, one extreme would be, as long as you think it's Asur, it's not a Shkaga. And that's a possibility that we've developed for Reish Lakish, which would explain why Reish Lakish is left out of many of the discussions in the Gemara. Okay, it would not allow for the modim. If it was modim to Reish Lakish, anyway. Because it might be closer to Reish Lakish, but it wouldn't be the absolute Reish Lakish. But that's one extreme. You need, for Shkaga, Shigigas Etzem Ha'isa. On the other extreme, for Munvaz, one could suggest the possibility. This might be true for others as well, but at least, and that is that Shav Midiaso is Koveya. Maybe that's all that's Koveya. If you think that something is Asur, Asur Lagamri, maybe I don't care what he knows, I don't care what he doesn't know, how much mistake he's making. Maybe I care about only one single thing, and that is whether some mistake is responsible for his going over the line. Okay, that's another extreme view of what Shkaga is. Shkaga just means, if I had all the facts, this missing fact, I wouldn't have done it. Shav Midiaso. Or, in between those, right, we have to consider several issues. One is that there's a certain quality of shkaga that we care about. The question of karav lones and karav lemezid. We know these categories from rotseach b'shkaga and ari mikla. Right, the question is, do they have an analog in karbanos? Well, if the definition of shkaga and rotseach, the ari miklat, is the same as shkaga and karban, then probably yes. That's the previous issue that we did. But even if they don't, even if there are discrepancies between rotseach and karban, it's still possible that the concept of there being an exclusion of karav lemezid, karav lones, still applies. Just so we might define it, what is karav lemezid, what is karav lones, we might define it differently. We might be more flexible about our definition of shkaga in karban than we are in rotseach. Like Tosa says, shkaga is tuba or shkaga gemura for rotseach. But still, the idea that there's a certain quality of shkaga, it's not only its impact, shavmi diaso, and it's also not only whether you think it's asur or mutter that's important. It's the quality, the type of shkaga that we're dealing with. The issue of type of shkaga affects, A, the question of karav l'onis, karav l'mezid. It also affects the degree of the shkaga, namely what I've been calling not what you know, but what you don't know. Onis and mezid is why you don't know it. How excusable is it that you don't know it? Sometimes the quality of the shogeg also affects or also is connected with how excusable it is that you do or don't know it, sometimes. But basically, karav lones, karav lemezid refers to the question of havle lemeida, lo havle lemeida, etc. As for the question of what exactly don't you know, what information, what is the quality of the information that you are missing, right, that has nothing to do with origin. That has to do with content. And here the question is, where would you draw the line? Shigigas kapara? That you don't know about the kapara side of the Savera? Shigigas onesh? You don't know about the onshin that result from the Avera? Or Shigigas halav? You don't know the type of lav that you violated. You know that it's asur, and you may know other things, but do you really know the severity or the character of the lav that you violated? That's different than knowing a prat about kapara, and it's even different than knowing a prat about onshin. I'm assuming when I say shigas onshin separate from this, if onesh doesn't reflect on the maisa avera, right? That's part of our topic, is whether it does or doesn't. Is knowing that there's a kapara, or knowing that there's an onesh, does that reflect upon the quality of the lav? Let's assume that it doesn't for the moment. So then what I mean is, to qualify for shkaga, maybe you need to have misidentified the classification of this lav, the nature of this lav. But there's one other possibility as well, and that is that shkaga refers to the mechayiv of the karban more directly. I think this is what Eliav mentioned the other day. Is Eliav here? Oh, there he is. Okay. What Eliav mentioned the other day, which is maybe the shkaga has to focus on that which itself triggers the karba. That it isn't that you do the lav in a certain way and then you either do or don't get the karba. The issue of shkaga itself is an issue about the mechayiv of karbanos. And therefore you may have to be shogeg on that which triggers the karban. Okay. So all I'm saying so far is, within the world of shkaga, right, there is a range of alternative logical definitions. Not only these logical places to draw the line, all the way from shavdi diaso to yediyah shigesh iser, to the question of shigas onesh, shigas kapara, the nature of the lav, the nature of the mechayev of karban, they're not just logical places to draw the line. They're also issues that we've already confronted in one way or another, on one level or another. What we have to try to figure out is how they fit into Munbaz, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish to the best of our ability. So on the extremes, one could say, to make it easier, that for Reish Lakish, as we just said, Reish Lakish only meant to say the simple definition. The quality of your shkaga is irrelevant. All that's important is whether you know this to be us or for whatever reason. That's one extreme. On the other extreme, with Munbaz, we could start even before the question of Shav Midiyasa. Right, I suggested the possibility that maybe Munbaz doesn't believe in Shav Midiyasa at all. And maybe if you had Mezid Biskila, the Shogeg Bikarban, even then Munbaz would say is halacha. Okay, that's even bigger extreme than saying that Shkaga is anything that pushes you over the limit, Shav Midiyasa. Of course, that is the view that sees Munbaz, Yossi, in terms of saying one could go even one step further with Munbaz. And that is to say that Munbaz doesn't even believe in Shav Midiyasa. And that even if it was Mezid Veskila, he would still say that Shikas Karbam is pocket. Okay, that would be based on what understanding of Munbaz? Tell me?
That Munbaz is arguing fundamentally that the Chacham has his understanding of Shogi that's much closer, the path is much closer to David.
Exactly. The view that according to Munbaz, it's not just the Limudim that equate Shogi and Mezid. The Limudim teach you that Karbon is really chayev for a kind of mezid. Now whether that's also, but even if it's also, it's certainly significant. Or it's only, that could be a machlokas or mishonim. It's certainly highlighted by the view of only. Namely Rabbeinu Chanan. According to Rabbeinu Chanan now, it turns out that according to Munbaz, the only time you ever chayev a Karbon is in Shigas Karbon. Wow. How much of a shogeg is that? So, if you say that, then we understand there shouldn't be a shav midiyasa, really. Because we don't really need shogeg. We just need... Basically, the category would be that, you know, you're basically amazed. And you're chayv karbon for being amazed. Just so you're not amazed gomor. So you don't get the death penalty. Yeah?
Can we just explain something in that one why it is mazed, and if the person knows that what he's doing is wrong and that it should be high schema, he just doesn't happen to know that you have Yuba Shoga Yuchat because he wasn't there that day in Shir.
Right.
Suddenly, that can be Chayav Misa for doing Michal Shabbos. I mean, it sounds like.
It's strange. Well, either way, it's strange. That's what I meant by the catch 22.
But we need to explain how it ends. It's not just to explain why he's Chayav Korban for this type of Shoga. It's also important to explain why he's Chayav Misa.
Why isn't the Chayiv Misa?
Right.
The answer is, to be Chayiv Misa, according to the Chiddush would be, according to the Rabbeinu Chananel, I think, the Chiddush would be that there's a limited maze in Chayiv Misa.
It requires this perfect knowledge to be Chayiv
Misa.
You have to be a
Tamachachim
to be
Chayiv Misa. You don't have to be a Tamachachim to know that you're Chayiv Korban, but I mean, Tamachachim is, I think, an exaggeration, but you have to have full information. Anything less than full information, even if possibly, even if, again, maybe requires Shav Midiyasa too, I don't know. I guess if Shav Midiyasa is a requirement, even according to Rabbeinu Chananel, then that would be the answer to your question. Namely, there's one piece of information, even though it's a pretty small, you know, in isolation, it's a small piece of information relative to what he did, he's seen his crime, he knows his Chayiv Skila, had he known about the carbon part, maybe he wouldn't have done it. But we're not sure. So I guess if it really did still affect Shav Midiyasa, we could say, well, he's not an amazing gomor. After all, you know, he was misled on one point. His ignorance is a contributing factor. If you want to say what I'm saying, which is that maybe there's not even a new Shav Midiyasa according to Munbaz, because Shav Midiyasa is a din in Shkaga, and this Shkaga is really a subcategory of mazid, then I think it's it's not pure mazik. Just that it's not pure mazik. It's strange. You're absolutely right. I mean, the Gemara only have to explain this according to Munbaz, according to Rabbeinu Chananel and Munbaz, who seems to say that that's the only time that you are chayav. Yeah.
Well, why is it only for Rabbeinu? First of all, why is it only for Rabbeinu Chananel? Everybody agrees that even though this guy is, he planned his day already around getting chayav skila, you know, and because he wants to do Omi Mechal Shabbos.
Right.
And he knows he's...
Right, but it's not the only case, is all I'm saying. I mean, according to the other Rishonim, and who are the other Rishonim? Let's make it clear. Number one, the sugya itself, as I say, works out better if you don't hold this way. You know, we don't know what Rabbeinu Chananel does with the Gemara and the Manalith, at least I don't know. But this is the assumption of Tosfos and the Ramban, that we don't say this. Let's get this on the record. All right, Tosfos, Dibur Maskil, Kol Shekein Shos Avcha. Right? Tosfos says... Right, behind the time of Shem, the Svarah Hudul Iska Shogi Lameza Lafuke Lemi Mashmaus Shkaga. The other of the Shogi Mashma Dleisla Yedia Bishas Maisa. Lasa Kesha Elachai Nami Kisla Yedia Bishas Maisa. Right? Although he asks, Mi Ukashal Ria, Pachin Ekesha, we'll get to that in a second. But how does he prove it? Because Tanyanam the Kaman Shogog Bazel Bazel, Zeo Shogog Homer Batoru Mikmina like a Munbaz. Right? That's what the Ramban says as well. Ramban says it's, you know, after all, it's totally inconceivable to say that Munbaz's halacha is only Bemezid because it's against the Gemara Nayin Omen Aleph. So it's both. All I'm saying is once it's both, in other words, if Lo Yada the Asur, because he made an identity mistake. Right? So according to Munbaz, Yechayev a Karba. So you're not going to say that's amazing.
Right, but that affects his action that he's planning on doing. Though. That's a factor. It's like, say, for example, if a person is eating a horse, and he knew that was a horse, like a landing car.
Right, so, of course.
And
60s reference.
No, I watched Nick at Night when I was a kid. So,
I see. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So, and he didn't know that eating a pig was usher.
It was a horse.
Right.
Okay.
So then, no, but he knew eating a horse is usher. He knows all of the
other simanim,
all the halachas of horses, right? Like eating horses, and he's total amazing. But he doesn't know eating a pig is usher.
Right.
So it's like the same thing. He knows everything about what he's doing. He's
right, but it's not the same thing because he thinks this is mutter.
He thinks. Over here, he doesn't think it's mutter. He just thinks that there's no carbon. He's amazing, and he.
No. What I'm saying is, according to the other Rishonim.
Yeah.
According to Munbaz, if you weren't Shigas Korban, let's say you were Shigas, Iser, Lab, Kares, you'd be.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's true. But he also holds that if you.
Right. So I think you have to say like this: if you hold like Rabbeinu Chananel, that the only time you ever bring a carbon is when you're amazed anyway. So that's remarkable. So then to say that basically, according to Munbaz, a chiyuv karban is a satellite, it's a diluted mezid. It's a mezid shein, a mezid gamur, but it's mezid nonetheless. And any time that you're shogeg, in any significant way, imagine, even if you think it's usur, but you think that it's not bakares. Right? According to Munbaz, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, you're not chayiv a karban.
Right, but that's because you have a misconception about what you actually are doing, though.
Okay, great. But either way,
but the point... You have a misconception about what you actually are doing.
Right, but all I'm saying... Exactly, so, and therefore you're kind of amazing.
Okay.
All I'm saying is, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, the only case of Munbaz is a case that Rabbi Akiva certainly says is amazing. Right?
So then doesn't Rabbeinu Chananel end up making a lot more sense than everybody else?
It's a purist yes and no, in the sense that if you can push all the way to Shigigas Karban, and you can see that as amazed, right, that's a big end, right? So then, what conclusion would you reach? Rabbeinu Chananel, that amazed is Chayiv a Karban. Now, once you say amazed is Chayiv a Karban, it doesn't mean that only amazed is Chayiv a Karban. That's still the additional point of Rabbeinu Chananel. So all I'm saying is, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, I don't know what he does in Gemara Nayin on Samech Tes and Bauer, but according to Rabbeinu Chananel, to say that Munvaz isn't telling you that this is the only shgaga, but Munvaz is telling you that an imperfect mezid is chayav. A karban, I think, is the most logical way to understand Munvaz. Now the question is, what about the chachamim? So the chachamim, I think, are two. The non-rabbeinu Chananel and Munvaz. So now there are two possibilities, or there are three possibilities, right? One is to say there are two dinim. Munvaz believes there are two dinim. There's a shogeg type, a classical shogeg type korban, and there's a mezid type korban. An imperfect mezid gets a korban, but a shogeg also gets a korban. Are there dafkamina between those? I don't know. But they're different mechayvim or different elements. It's one possibility. Or, in light of the fact that a regular shogeg is mechayv a karban, we should look at shigigas karban itself in a different light. Maybe it really isn't amazed. Maybe it's what you said a second ago. He's misidentifying the type of aveira that he's doing. That's a shgaga too. He may know that it's asur. He may even know about some of the consequences, right? But he doesn't really understand what he's getting into. If he really knew what he was getting into, he wouldn't do it. Meaning, what looks like on the border of mezid and further reflection is not on the border of mezid at all. So there aren't two dinim, two separate dinim. There's one halacha. Munvaz just gives exaggerated importance to shigigas karban, to the quality of that misinformation, and views that as a significant shgaga. So I think partly this issue depends for the other Rishonim on how you understand the two limudim. If you look at Rashi, just one more second, how does Rashi interpret? My time with the munvaz. Go ahead, Yossi. No. What are you reading? That's what my time of the munvaz? Are there two Dibur Maslow? My time of the munvaz, no? Isn't there such a...
Yeah,
go ahead. Rashi. My time of the munvaz? Now, this is a very fascinating Rashi. It looks like a very innocuous Rashi, but it really is a very fascinating Rashi. What's Rashi saying? There's a binyanav and there's a hekesh and a gemara, as we already noted. So what's going on with that? So Rashi says, the binyanav can't be the basis. Why? The high shogeg chiluf demezid. The lake of the muyinu. The high chayv a high potter. You can't say that this is a binyanav because mezid ikri chote, shogeg ikri chote, therefore you exclude tinuk shenishba. Because what does that mean? Mezid ikri chote, shogeg ikri chote. What are you really saying? There's no difference between mezid and shogeg? A shogeg is the opposite of a mezid, says Rashi. So therefore the Gemara needs to say, where does Munvaz get this halacha from? And where does he get it from? Makish shogeg. Read the next one. So Rashi goes so far as to say that even the hekesh should not be understood as establishing munvaz in terms of mezid, strictly speaking. Because even though you need, number one, a binyanav isn't enough. You need a hekesh. You need a real limud. And even the limud doesn't teach you that. The limud teaches you that there's a parallel. And that we should expand the concept of shogeg. So there aren't two dinim according to Rashi. The hekesh is mechadesh, what we already knew and what was the reason that we couldn't rely on the binyanav to begin with, which is that even according to Munvaz, there's a radical difference between shogeg and mezid, even the extreme of Munvaz acknowledges that difference. That's Rashi. The Bali Tosis, similar. Go ahead, read the Kol Shekein Shosaf again. So this is very important. Does the fact that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish The Rambam says two dinim, right? We just don't know if there are two halachos or not, conceptually. But he says two things. Number one, he says tinuk shenishba is not a shogeg. And number two, he says that shigigas karban is a shogeg. So he's expansive and he is restricted. Right? So if you hold like Rabbeinu Hananel, so, you know, it doesn't end at tinuk shenishba. Basically, he said tinuk shenishba is not a shogeg, and shigas lav is not a shogeg, and shigas lav bakaris is not a shogeg, and shigas karis is not a shogeg. The only shogeg that's chayav a karban is shigas karban. That's the extreme view of Rabbeinu Hanan, right? But according to the other Rishonim, so he did say two things. Are these two things connected? Are they two dinim? Are they unrelated? Does one impact on the other, and in which direction? In other words, does the fact that he thinks you can push all the way to shigas karban show you that he has a certain mazin orientation to shogeg, which is responsible for excluding tinek shenishba? Or no? One is a din in ones, an expansion of ones, and the other is a an expansion of shogeg. One gets a limit of shogeg, one is an expansion of shogeg, but never the twain shall meet, they have nothing to do with each other. So Tosa says, well, we'll look at Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish don't believe in Munbaz number two. They only believe in Munbaz number one, because they're comfortable saying, right, that just because Tinek Shenishba is an ones, doesn't qualify for Shkaga, doesn't mean that Shigigas Karban does qualify for Shkaga. On the contrary, according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we might say, that's Karav L'mezid, that's Karav L'onas. According to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we could say, according to Bali Tosis, it's parallel to Rotseach. Again, the definition of Karav L'mezid, Karav L'onas doesn't have to exist. But the concept, that's the cases might be different, but the concept that Shkaga requires something in between Onas and Mezid is the view of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. And what about Munvaz? We don't know. Maybe Munvaz really thinks all there is an exclusion of Karav L'ones. There's no such exclusion of Karav L'mezid. Maybe. It's hard to know. But at least according to Tosus, it's clear. Again, we read on. Behind the Talmud Mishum Svarahu. Oh, Adarabba. Yeah. Meaning, so Tosus is saying, like Rashi, that even Munvaz is pushing the frontiers of Shkaga. But he's not denying Shkaga. And if not for the Hekesha, we would, in other words, the concept of Shogeg for Munvaz is the same as the concept of Shogeg for the Chachamim, for Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, with an adjustment, which is why we understand what Tosa said in Ela Munvaz, Shkaga B'mai, that Shav Midi also applies, that it wouldn't apply in the case of Yediyah Skila, and so on. However, does one need to say this? So look at the Ramban for a moment. I'm going to take your question. Unless you want to, you know, sneak it in now while I'm looking. The Ramban. Go ahead. What's your question?
When we say the concept of Shogeg applies to Munvaz, are we saying that that has to connect specifically to Shabbat and Yasso?
I think if once you say that there is some real notion of Shkaga, even in Shigigas Karbon, I think it's sensible to apply the principle of Shav Midiyah, since we don't know that it doesn't apply to him.
But it would seem
it might even be applicable to him according to Rabbeinu Hananel, I'm not sure. Although I don't...
But could you just say Shogeg without Shav Midiyah? Just Shogeg
in theory you could, but why? But if he really is just arguing about the significance of Yediyah's Karban in defining the Lav or in Shav Midiyah itself, I don't see any compelling reason to exclude Shav Midiyah. In other words, if Munvaz is saying the whole concept of Shkaga is different and this is closer to Mezid than it is to Shogeg, it's a satellite of Mezid, then to say, so why do we care about Shav Midiyah? So I think makes... I'm not sure even then you have to say it. But I think these qualitative distinctions are... I'll give you another one. I had you look at the Balamar. Did you see it? No? Ephraim? David? Yaakov? No one saw the Balamar? No one saw the Balamar. Shut out on the Balamar. Okay. That's not good. But the Balamar has a line. Shlomo, you saw the Balamar? No one. That's the modest people around the room who definitely saw the Balamar. I refuse to accept it, but no one saw it. Okay. The Baal HaMor has a line which he asks the question. Basically, the Baal HaMor and Ramban, each in their own way, is Ha'adam B'Shvua, the concept of Ha'adam B'Shvua. Eitan, saw Baal HaMor? I know some people. Is the concept of Ha'adam B'Shvua affected by Munvaz or not? Yonah? Awesome. So the Baal HaMor says, don't think. You have a line, go ahead.
The lack of Ha'amil Sabot to Ben Numa Zorabanu, the Midrash, Ha'adam Mishkura, Ha'kol Shavim.
Yeah. Baal HaMor says, don't even think that Ha'adam Mishkura is affected by Munbaz in the Chachamim. I think that's a great line. Whether it is or it isn't, meaning this question. If Munbaz has a totally different concept of Shkaga, it very well might affect the Adam Mishmua. Just as, for example, Tosa says, Shvuas Eidos. Right? The Gemara discusses here Shvuas Bitui, whether or not Yedias, Shigas Karban and Shvuas Bitui might be different than elsewhere, correct? So Tosa says, what about Shvuas Eidos? So Tosa says, Kol Shekain. That's obvious. Why? Because Shvuas Eidos is Bein B'Shogeg, Bein B'Nezid. Do you have it there, Yaakov? Tell us about Shvuas Eidos. Tosfos doesn't talk about Shavuos Eidos? I mean, it's also in Shavuos, I think it's supposed to say it. I apologize. Okay, it's Tosfos in Shavuos. Tosfos in Shavuos, Chavam Beis asks the question. That I didn't give a look at. So, Tosfos asks the question, what about Shavuos Eidos? Sheshagag B'Karvan. Tosa says, don't ask me from Shavuos Eidos. There, it's obvious, because in Shavuos Eidos, you chayv a karban from Nezid and for Shogeg. So even the definition of Shigigas Karban Shma Shkaga is influenced by the fact that it's an area in Halacha where Nezid is chayv. That's a terrific line. I apologize. It's in Tosa and Shavuos Dav Chavav Mabez. Meaning, right, it depends on your perspective here. So let me read the Ramban. So that's what the Baal HaMor is about. And that's what I think Shav Midyaso is about. If we're talking about a difference in is assessing Shigigas Karban, or how much misinformation is required technically, how much to be a Shkaga, right, then that shouldn't affect Shav Midyaso, and that should not affect Adam B'Shavua. But if Munvaz is revolutionizing our concept of what a Kiyub Karban is about, and whether it really is Shkaga or it's a satellite of Nezid, then these big concepts, Ha'adam Shvua, Shev Midyaso, of course could be carried with it. Let me look at Ramban. Ramban says as follows, quotes Rashi, Abinin av vada l'samach da shogei kichiluf de Nezidu, v'lekelu d'minyu, v'kashali, Ikula me'ekesha asilei. So what according to Rashi, everything's run out of the hekesh, right? So ma'isha the potter b'shalohaisa yediyah klal, u'ma'ishna b'yediyah d'shas ma'isa d'lo potri, lay. It's very interesting question. Just a very fascinating Ramban. Ramban says, how does, if everything is run out of the hekesh, right? So how do you know where to draw the line? How do you know if everything is run out from that one halacha? How do you know where to draw the line? Meishan de potash loisa yediyah klal, meaning tinak shenishva, v'meishan de bibi yediyah deshas meisa de lo potar lay. If it's all about shgaga, and it's only one limud, how do you know both of these halachos? So he says, Eli Yishlomar, the habinyanav, vadai, danin, you don't reject the binyanav. Rather, kol shelo ha'isli yediyah klal ena b'chlal achet. The binyanav teaches you that there's a certain, says Ramban, that there's a certain minimum to qualify as shkaka. The binyanav teaches you the exclusion of anus. Elamai tamid the munbaz, b'yediyah b'shas maisa. The second part of the Gemara is, what about the second point of munbaz? In other words, these are two unrelated issues. Daha lekel asuya bebinyanav, shem eno nikra chote, ad shetelo yediyah b'shas maisa, im kem olam pater ad sheyazav b'la b'kares. Bahalaisle the munbaz. Kiritan the kaman shogeg b'zeh, zehu shogeg. He's saying if the halacha was that according to munbaz, there's only one halacha, then the halacha should be that it's a satellite of Mezid, like Rabbeinu Chananel. He doesn't mention Rabbeinu Chananel. And that can't be true, because the Gemara in Samach Tetzav and Aleph says that Munbaz believes in the other Shkogas too. U'mfarshin and diadiyah d'shas maisa, me'akesha marbila, v'ahani binyana, v'ahani hekesh. So according to the Ramban, what emerges is that there are two makoros, because there are two completely different dinim of Munbaz. One is halacha of karov la'ones, which is not a shkaga, and the other is an expansion that even karav lemezid is shkaga, or is a kind of a satellite of mezid. It's hard to know. According to Rashi, everything and tells us everything is learned out from the Hekesh. There's only one halacha. That is the fine tuning of what Shkaga is. But the truth is, one could have answered Ramban's question. Ramban says, how do you know the line? Maybe it should go into Mezid as well. So how would Rabbeinu Chananel answer that question? Jeremy? What? In Achanami, except that it can't be Mezid. You need something, because otherwise you'd be Chayv Misa. There is a carbon out there. It's in a case of Mezid. So in Achanami, it's just one Yediyah short of Mezid. But the Ramban, again, they don't have this mentality. Maybe the Ramban says, maybe there are two dinim. According to Rashi and Tosis, it's because there's only one halacha, and it's all about shkaga. According to the Ramban, there are two limudim, possibly two dinim. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, there's one halacha. But then this works in well with the other Ramban. The Ramban says, just as Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, since Ramban says that there are two dinim, and they're not integrated into one, so could you have the second halakha without the first? Could you have a view in which you expand shogeg to include even karav lemezid, and you also expand shogeg to include karav lonis? Could you do that? Again, if munbaz is really about the shogeg being a satellite of mezid, then you couldn't. But then you have to accept. You have to accept the first halacha of munbaz. If you're going to accept the second, you might not accept the second and accept the first, but you can't accept the second and not the first. Now, you can't do a reverse of Yochanan and Reish Lakish. But if there really are two different dinim, so can't you say karav lemezid is shogeg and karav lonis is shogeg? So that's what the Ramban says. That's the pshat in Rabbi Kiva. Right? Rashi said that Shigigas Bitul Shavar doesn't exist outside of Munbaz. But Rabbi Kiva is the one who believes in it. And he's the one who disagrees with Munbaz. So what do you do? So the first answer to the Ramban, Dibramaskal Hamani Munbaz, is as follows. Yeshlo Litchok, Shalo Chalak Rabbi Kiva Leid Munbaz, El Al Shahaya Poter, Kol Shalo Yad Yadua Bibinyan Av Didei. Aval iu svirulei, the bein shaloi sali yediyah klal, bein shaloi yeshlo nami yediyah, v'shas maisa, kulan chayavin, the shigas karban, shma shkaga. Aye, so what? That's what I mentioned before. So what does Rabbi Akiva say to Munvaz on Samech Chesem Beis when he said to him, reductio ad absurdum? He said that there's no difference between shogeg and mezid, you might as well have full yediyah v'shas maisa. On the contrary, Ramban is suggesting maybe that Rabbi Kiva holds like Munbaz number two and not like Munbaz number one, the reverse of Rabbi Yochanan Mishlakish. So if he felt that way, why is it such a reductio ad absurdum? The answer is, Amalei Rabbi Akiva, Hein, Zen, Nikra Shogeg, Stam. So, Im Tiftar, Kol She'en Lo Yediya, B'Shas Maisa, El Amezid Namihu, B'Miktsas, U'Lechinim Tafsu, Torah, Lashon Shogeg, Om Kamakom, Mod Rabbi Akiva, the Shigas Karban, Shema, Shkaga, Mibinyan Avu, Tehta. What he says is, listen, according to you, Munvaz, that you hold both of these halachos, and you hold it not on the basis of a hekesh, but on the basis of a binyanav, what you're doing is, essentially, what Ramban is putting in the words of Rabbi Akiva is an attack on Rabbeinu Hananel's understanding of Munvaz. Rabbi Akiva says to Munvaz, if it's because shogeg korichote and mezid korichote, if that's the reason, then there's no difference between shogeg and mezid. And then it's not a din of shigas karban shma shkaga. It's a din that shigas karban is the mezid of chiyuv karban. Are you going to say that? Well, if you say that, then we understand why you think that tinok shenishba is definitely out. And because you believe that shkaga is a form of mezid. But if you say that, then why did the Torah call it shogeg and not mezid? That's what the Ramban is putting into the mouth of Rabbi Akiva. Now again, according to Rashi, Rashi said, even in the Binyanav didn't mean that. Right? But the Binyanav didn't mean that because they understood there's a difference between shogeg and mezid. But the Ramban, from his perspective, is saying there really are two dinim of munvaz. So Rabbi Akiva was saying, if you have two dinim, fine, there's a shogeg and there's a karov lemezid. But if you only have one halacha, or if you have, you know, the exclusion of ones, because you think that shogeg is a form of mezid, so why call it shogeg at all? You're mixing up miktsas ulechinam tafsal Torah lashon shogeg. But does Rabbi Akiva agree that shigas karban shma shkaga? Yeah, that's karav lemezid, but it's still shogeg. So it turns out that Rabbi Akiva's munbaz is Rabbi Akiva's munbaz, is Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish's munbaz, according to Zayin Ramban. And then within munbaz itself, there are different perspectives. Okay, we'll stop here. This, of course, we should just add also to Pnei Yeshua's comment. Let me just mention that, but one second. I mentioned it the other day. Pnei Yeshua quotes, I think, a name of his grandfather or somebody, who said that the two limudim, another perspective, the binyanav is for Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, and the hekesh is for munbaz. And that's why it includes the second halacha. He himself said, Pnei Yeshua, no. Munbaz requires both, because munbaz needs to teach you that ones is pater min hakarban. But again, that's even more than Rashi and Tosfos saying, munbaz is just a shkaga halacha. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue with Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish on Thursday. Try to finish this out.